I want to read to you from a book. Well, it's a story. I guess it technically is a book, but it's a story. I want you to see if you can, if you know the name of the book. Don't shout it out, but just to yourself, see if you know where this comes from. This is the first few lines from this book. It's not an autobiography, and it's not about me, which will become apparent in a second. It starts out, "I went to sleep with gum in my mouth, and now there's gum in my hair." That's the part that's obviously not about me. "And when I got out of bed this morning, I tripped on the skateboard, and by mistake, I dropped my sweater in the sink while the water was running, and I could tell it was going to be," do you know what it was? "It was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. At breakfast, Anthony found a Corvette Stingy Ray car kit in his breakfast cereal box, and Nick found a junior undercover agent code ring in his breakfast cereal box. But in my breakfast cereal box, all I found was breakfast cereal. I think I'll move to Australia." You know the book? It's called Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day, written by Judith Viorst. It was also made into a movie in 2014, which I have not seen, but probably would be enjoyable. But in this book, she details the travails of this young kid and how life is just not working out for him. This day is terrible, horrible, no good, very bad. You ever had a day like that? A couple weeks ago, I came home late at night after, well, not super late, but after a meeting, probably after 9 o'clock, and I notice in the kitchen, I walk into the kitchen, Rebecca, my wife, she is on the phone, and she's like kind of pacing in a way that makes me think, like, hey, there's something going on. You know, she's obviously talking to someone, and it's kind of intense. And so I'm looking at her, and she writes a note to me. And the note just says this: "Somebody compromised our debit card and has been making withdrawals on our account." It's one of those things, it's like, oh my goodness. Now, how much did they take? How did this happen? You could say maybe that was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. But thankfully, banks have ways of addressing things, and I think we're going to get the money back. It's going to be fine, right? It's a minor blip, inconvenience. We were at our small group, though, last Tuesday night. If you're not in a small group or a connections class or some kind of group, you should get in one. It's a place where you can encourage and look at God's word and pray for each other and just be together in the Christian life. Christian life isn't meant to be done on your own, alone, but we were in our small group and we were talking about the subject of reconciliation, which was the sermon topic last week. And I shared a little bit and others were sharing, and it just became apparent that in almost everybody's family, there is relational problems. You could, I kind of think this way, that is just a me issue, nobody else has that kind of issue. But as we run around almost to a family, it was like, wow, this is a common experience that life in family is not necessarily harmonious and beautiful, the hallmark picture that we would like it to be. And sometimes those things go on and on and on, right? And there's no real reconciliation, there's no resolving the issue, you just have to live with it. And whether you are a child and like in Alexander and you're experiencing a day that we would kind of laugh at, we think, oh, gum in your hair and your sweater got wet and these kind of things, or whether it's a grown-up thing and somebody compromises your account or you have financial issues or health issues or whatever it is, like in the short term, or whether it is a long-term kind of thing, I think we have this sense, like, what is wrong with the world? It seems broken. It seems like it's not right, like it's not the way that it was supposed to be. And in the midst of those moments, don't we have this kind of internal desire for it to change? This yearning, this kind of groaning for it to be something different than it is? For it to be the type of world where people don't compromise your debit card and steal. For it to be the type of the world where relational harmony is the order of the day rather than disharmony. For it to be the type of world where people, instead of getting sick and breaking down and having all kinds of issues, that health prevails. And there's a question, at least that I have, is it always going to be like this? Is this how it's always going to be? This broken, sad, hurting, messed up existence. Is that what we're consigned to? Or is there hope? So if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn with me to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, verses 20 or 18 to 25, I think we're gonna find an answer to that question. We're in a sermon series called Identity Crisis, looking at who we are as people, because our world has all these messages about who we are as people. Our world says, you know, you can be your own creator. You can just make yourself. You can choose whatever you want to choose. But inevitably, that leads to somewhere bad. It says people were basically good. Which is problematic if somebody just stole your debit card. Right? We have these things that our culture says is true, but in the Bible we find they're about 180 degrees different is what the actual truth is. And so this morning we're going to look at this question: what is our future? It's on page 944 in the Pew Bible in the seat in front of you. It'll also be on the screen. If you don't have a Bible, I'd encourage you to take that Bible home. We'd love to give it to you as a gift. This is the Word of God from our Creator, and He wants to communicate to you and I. And the way He does that is through His Word. So if you don't have a Bible, please take that one home and read it this week. Romans chapter 8, in verse 18 down to 25. For I consider, the Apostle Paul speaking, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Then he's going to go on and explain what he means by that. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Look at verse 22. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons and daughters, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. This morning, the question is it always going to be like this? The world is just messed up, broken, terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days. And we're going to see this morning that there is good news in the face of that. If you're a follower of Jesus, there is good news. Then I want to think, what are the implications of that good news? Because that good news is in the future. But what are the implications here and now? What does that mean for our real life experience? And then I want to think with you, what does that mean for the way we live this week? The good news is this is what Romans chapter 8 and elsewhere in the Bible clearly teaches, is that a day is coming when everything will be renewed. So to the question, is this how it's always going to be? The answer is emphatically no. It is everything is going to be renewed someday. A day is coming when all the pain and the suffering and the problems and all of the issues that we groan about and make us yearn for something better, those are going to be wiped away and a new world is going to emerge. One the way God originally intended it to be. In complete compliance and according to His will and His nature. And everything will be renewed. Our doctrinal statement in the Evangelical Free Church of America concludes with this word. It says, we believe that God created, that's where we started, God is a creator, not us. He created Adam and Eve, male and female, in His image. that they sin when tempted by Satan in union with Adam, because he's our first father. Human beings are sinners by nature and by choice. The result of that is we're alienated from God, separated from him, and under his wrath. Only through God's saving work in Jesus Christ can we be rescued. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Reconciled last week. And renewed. This word renewed. And this is what renewed looks like. Revelation 21:4 is just a wonderful verse. If you are struggling with something, you have pain in your life, you have things that you wish were different, somebody steals your debit card, you get gum in your hair, whatever it is, it says this: he will wipe away, this being God, every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. This is what he's talking about. It's going to be renewed. The former things have passed away. There is a new reality to which we are headed. Everything will be renewed. But that's in the future. You notice, it's the future. Today we are in the present, and there's groaning. That's this sense that the world isn't what it ought to be. It's not right. The brokenness that we experience isn't the way that God had intended or planned. He says in verse 23 or 22, we know that the whole creation has been groaning. So there's groaning from the creation. This is a personification of the creation, but I think it's also creation knows what it was made for and what it was made to experience. And it knows that it is in the midst of something that is not that. And so Paul says the whole creation, even the creation, is groaning as in the pains of childbirth until now. There's this groaning. Look what he says in verse 19. The creation waits. It's waiting. It's looking forward with bated breath because of the current reality. It says in verse 20, it's subjected to futility. If you look at the seasons, we're in the middle of the changeover from fall to winter, right? That's why we're like, do we wear coats? Do we not wear coats? You know, Tuesday or Wednesday, it's going to be warm. What are we doing? Turning your heat on or your air conditioner, right? We're in this weird time between the seasons here in Minnesota. And it goes fall, winter, spring, summer, fall, winter, spring, summer, fall, winter, spring, summer, fall, winter, spring, summer. After you live through a number of those cycles, you start to think, is this is just the way it is. It's like the world's not going anywhere. It just keeps doing the same thing over and over again. And it's the way God made it, but there's a question, is it headed towards anything? Is it just always going to be this way? So creation was subjected to futility. And then he says this, verse 21, it is in bondage to corruption. It's in bondage to corruption. Corruption here is literally the breakdown of organic matter, the breakdown of living things. It's what happens out in the woods when a tree falls and starts to decay. That's the breakdown, the corruption of it, the disintegration of it. And Paul is just so true to what we see. Even in science, there's a word for this: entropy. That systems tend towards disorder. That's what he's saying. It is in bondage to corruption. It is degrading over time. It is getting things. I mean, things are built and then they decay, right? That's why we have to fix them. So creation groans, but we also see here, verse 23, not only the creation, he says, but we ourselves, as followers of Jesus, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, this groaning applies to you too. I love how practical Paul is. He's not presenting this Christian life as this get out of life easy free card kind of thing. No. We who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan inwardly, he says. Creation's groaning. We groan as we wait eagerly for the day of renewal to come. But we're groaning too. You know, any old person, you look at the world and you think, man, there's stuff broken. Yeah, people shouldn't break into your bank account. And people shouldn't do this. And this isn't the way the world is. But if you're a follower of Jesus, you also have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You have a new nature. You have a divine, supernatural sense of what right and wrong actually is because you know the one who defines what right and wrong is. And there is an extreme incongruence between what you know and what you experience. And so there's a groaning. There's a groaning. The groaning have to do with the, look what he says in verse 18, the sufferings of this present time. The sufferings of this present time. Now you could say, what are those sufferings? I think there are at least two things. One is for being a follower of Jesus. That because we live in this world is not necessarily our permanent home. It's for this time given over to Satan to control, at least at some level. And we are children of the King of Kings. We're out of step with that. So there is, it always has been, there has been suffering that goes along with being a follower of Jesus in this broken world. He's definitely talking about that. But I also think he's talking about just the experience of being human in a sin-soaked, broken world. He says the sufferings of this present time. I think he's talking about all of it. So there's this groaning, but what we also see in this text, and this is the good news, is that it's not permanent. It has a short shelf life. Look what he says in verse 21. In hope that the creation itself, this is the hope for the creation, it's going to be set free from its bondage to corruption. That the way of disorder and decay and all of that, that's not the permanent state of being, but it's going to be set free one day. There's going to be renewal for the creation, and there's going to be renewal for us. Look what he says in verse 19. On that day, there's going to be a revealing of the sons, the children of God. What is hidden now, veiled now, is going to be fully revealed then. There's going to be a revealing. The word here, reveal, is literally the word apocalypsis. From which we get the word apocalypse. We think of an apocalypse as like the end of the world, something terrible. They make movies about this, right? It's bad. They get that probably from the book of Revelation, where there's a lot of stuff that goes down in the book of Revelation. But the word apocalypse really literally only means reveal, to make known what is hidden, to unveil that which is veiled. That's what the word means. And a day of renewal is coming for those who are following Jesus, where there's going to be a full revealing of who we are and what we are, what we're made to be. On that day, it says in verse 23, there will be a full adoption as sons, as children of God. Now you could look at this and you say, well, I thought I was already a child of God. What's this business about adoption as sons? We have a couple families in our church who are waiting to adopt children. For whatever reason, they have to wait. Now these children, they know these children. And these children, they're already thinking of them as their part of their family. How are we going to integrate them into their family? But yet, a day is still coming when they're going to bring them home to be fully integrated into the family. They're going to have a room and a place in their house. That's what he's talking about. There's a sense in which we are already adopted, but there's also a sense that that adoption is going to be fully in the future. And that day is the day of the redemption of our bodies, he says in verse 23. The redemption of our bodies. When we get new bodies. Ever have aches and pains? I'm almost 40. I know some of you are like, that's not old. Some of you are like, dude, that's ancient. But I think the older you get, you long for the redemption of your body more and more. Because it doesn't work the way it used to work. You can't do the things that you used to be able to do. You got pains in places that you'd rather not have them. Why? Because it's decaying. But the scriptures point to a day when that's going to change. Call it the redemption of our bodies, when our bodies are resurrected if we've died. We're given a new, powerful, beautiful, eternal body. See, renewal is coming. And this is the good news. This that we live in, the brokenness of the world, it's not permanent. Everything is going to be renewed. Creation and us, we're going to be renewed. So what does that mean for us? What are some of the implications? I think here's some of the implications for here and now. They have real world implications for how we go through life. Because we experience the suffering and the pain today. But I think this is what it points to, that our groanings today, our suffering today, our yearning for that better world today, those things are bearable and purposeful in light of what Paul has said. They're bearable and purposeful. See, if I were to say to you that, well, this is just how life is, and you just got to deal with it, there's nothing that comes after this life, so you'd have no hope for the future. Well, that starts to become kind of an unbearable reality. But what he says is that the opposite is true. And so our sufferings today, they are both bearable and purposeful. They're bearable because this isn't going to last forever. Look what he says in verse 18. The sufferings of this present time, that's a reality. The brokenness that you experience, it's real. And then he says, but there is glory that is to come. This redemption of our bodies, when Jesus makes everything new, when everything is renewed, that is coming. But look what he puts in the middle. It's not that there's the suffering of today and then there's the glory of tomorrow, and those things are about equivalent. In the middle, he puts a phrase. He says, the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. My arms aren't long enough to do the... This is what he's saying. When we get here, we're going to look back at this and we're going to think, you know, maybe it wasn't as bad as I thought it was in the moment. From that vantage point, we'll have a new perspective. The sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed. That means these are temporary, so this is coming. And in comparison, these are inconsequential to the good that is going to be ours on the day of renewal. They're not worth comparing. So that makes it bearable. But they're also purposeful. Look what he says in verses 23 to 25. He uses the word hope a whole bunch. He talks about the redemption of our bodies. And then he says, for in this hope, one first time we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. You notice five times he uses the word hope in two verses. And he says in the middle, hope that is seen is not hope. What is our suffering and our yearnings, what does that produce? It produces the ability to hope. It exercises the muscle of hope in your life. That's part of the purpose. Because we long for something that we don't see. Hope requires faith. You know, in Romans chapter 5, I mean, this is just a wonderful verse. Notice the word suffering and the word hope in Romans 5, 3 to 5. Paul says this, we rejoice in our sufferings. Excuse me? We rejoice in our sufferings? Why? Knowing, listen to this, that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. What Paul is saying is that your suffering, your groanings here and now, it can be intensely purposeful. It can be accomplishing the work that God wants to do in your life, producing His character lived out in your life. Now, it's possible to suffer in such a way that there's no endurance, there's no character, and there's no hope. It's possible to go through suffering and allow it to make you bitter and angry and cynical. But there's also a way to suffer, to go through the difficulties of life that bring you out the other side more like the Savior. It's purposeful and it's bearable. There's a question, but how do we know? How do we know for sure? These are nice things to say. But how do we know for sure that that day of renewal is coming? Now, I've lived on this earth for about 40 years now. Haven't seen it yet. People have lived and died throughout the centuries. They haven't seen it yet. How do we know for sure that that day is coming? Well, because we have a little foretaste of it in the Lord Jesus. That's why the resurrection is such a big deal. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Death is the ultimate corruption. And it says, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That's why we hope in the resurrection of Jesus. Because it is the first installment of God's renewal of all things. It is a picture of what He is going to do in the lives and in the bodies of each person who is His. Just as Jesus had a powerfully resurrected body, we are going to have the same. And not only that, but our powerfully resurrected bodies are going to live on this beautiful, perfect new world that He has renewed in His goodness and in His grace. And looking at Jesus and the fact that He's been raised from the dead tells us that we have nothing to worry about. Our hope is sure. So, what do we do today? Because we're going to walk out these doors, and guess what? All the groaning and the suffering and the brokenness is still going to confront us. Well, we have a choice. If you're a follower of Jesus, I think this is what the text is saying. If you're in the midst of a world that is broken, we need to live patiently, hoping in the future renewal. Patiently hoping in the future renewal, as opposed to the natural way of going through pain and suffering. You know what the natural way of going through pain and suffering is? Look for a way out. Any way, it doesn't matter. I just want a way out of this. And I want it to be the fastest way I can find. And that can lead you to really bad places. But for followers of Jesus, we live in this reality, this groaning reality, and yet we can live patiently hoping in the day that is going to come. How do we do that? I think one thing we have to do is just come to grips. I think Paul is so practical. He's so realistic. He's not trying to kid us. He's not trying to sell us something like, hey, come to know Jesus and your life is going to be great and all your problems are going to be taken care of. You're not going to have any pain. You know, your relationships are going to be reconciled. You're going to get whatever you want. Just come to Jesus. That's not what he says. He says, the sufferings of this present time. It's present tense. It's reality. He calls it what it is. It's true. What do we do with that? Well, we can grieve it. God, I hate this. Father, this is so broken. How do you feel about this? And you start bringing this thing to Him, the brokenness of it, and you wonder how it must grieve not only your heart, but how it must grieve His heart. Because this is not the way He made it to be. So this doesn't require that we say, you know what, everything's fine, I'm a Christian, I know God, you know, someday I'm going to be in heaven, so it's all good. We can legitimately grieve and the brokenness of this world, and yet at the same time, ask Him to do things in us through it. I think we can ask him to reveal things about himself to us through the suffering, through the difficulties. Take getting stolen from because someone compromises your debit card. Small thing. It's not a big deal. But it gives us an insight into the Lord Jesus Christ. He trusted a guy. His name was Judas. Scripture tells us Judas had, he was in charge of the money. He must have been good with money. They said, hey, we're going to trust Judas with this. Guess what he did? He was skimming off the top. Then turned around and betrayed Jesus. You think Jesus understands what it is to be stolen from? See, the sufferings that we encounter in this world can be a window to understand more fully our Savior and what he did. We can ask the Lord, Lord, would you use this to reveal more things about you to me? We can also ask him to grow our character, to make us more like him. Verse 19 says, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. The full revealing of the sons of God is going to happen in the future at the redemption of our bodies. That's going to be a full revealing. But what if little parts can be revealed here today? What if as we go through suffering and difficulty and pain, we encounter that in a way that doesn't make sense? We don't get nasty or vengeful or let it make us cynical or bitter. But even in the midst of those things, we allow God to help us love people. Help us just radiate his joy. I would argue that that is a revealing of the sons of God, the children of God. Not fully, as it's going to be someday, but in little tiny measure here and now. Lastly, I'd say the groaning. You look at the world, you think, man, this place is so broken. Patiently hoping in the future renewal means we allow the groaning to let us long for the day of renewal. One of the prayers of Christ followers throughout history has been, come, Lord Jesus. What if that became our prayer? Will it always be this way? Romans chapter 8 and other places in the Bible say emphatically no. God is going to do something. He's going to renew everything that is broken. He's going to wipe away every tear. Death will be no more. The old order of things will pass away. There will be a revealing of us as his children. That means that today, even in the midst of our pain and our suffering and our hardship and our frustrations, those things are bearable and even purposeful in God and in what he's trying to do. So for us, that means we can patiently hope in that coming day. The book with Alexander ends this way. It says, it has been a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. My mom says some days are like that. Even in Australia. And friends, as followers of Jesus, we are not doomed to endure the groanings of this life forever. We are not consigned to an existence of purposelessness in our suffering. We have great hope because we know the one who died and yet is risen from the dead. And one day we are going to be renewed just as he was. So let's look forward with confident expectation to that glorious renewal that's coming. So Lord, that's our prayer, that you would help us to see the sufferings, the difficulties, the hardships that we encounter in this life as something that you want to use to make us more and more like you. I pray that as we go out from this place, that when people see us, they would see little bits and pieces of the revealing of your character, your life, what you are like in and through us. Lord, that in the midst of suffering and hardship and difficulties, you would give us joy and hope and peace and love that are supernatural in nature. Lord, so that people would be pointed to you. We pray this in your name. Amen.